Welcome, everybody, to another episode of DWP Digital's podcast. My name is Stuart, and today we're talking about digital innovation. And don't forget, if you're interested in technology and the types of things we do, hit the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. So let's get started. Shruti, Simon, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Dr. Shruti Kohli, a lead data scientist working as the innovation lead for the lab. In my current role, my key responsibilities are to do the horizon scanning and drive user data and tech-driven innovation within the lab.
I'm Simon King. I'm the head of user-centered design at DWP. So that involves user research, service design, interaction design, and content design. And in addition to that, I'm also the head of DWP's innovation lab.
Just before we jump into today's topic, would you mind giving us an overview of your team and what they do within DWP Digital?
Sure, Swit. Around 2.5 years back, the senior leaders of DWP came up with a tech accelerator called Dojo, whose major functions was to challenge the perceived thinking of the users in the department and demonstrate the art of possible. Recently, we branded ourselves to Innovation Lab as our responsibilities grew and we got more aligned to user-driven innovations. So exactly who we are. We are a rapid prototyping team, which is a blend of creative, highly skilled, multi-skilled people. As part of my role, I work on developing and delivering the user-centric driven solutions. I have got a parallel who is looking after the product management. We have got a senior user researcher, a senior business, and an SRM to support business engagements across DWP. Apart from the DWP squad, we have got our innovation partner, who is a bunch of highly skilled technology scrum team that includes full stack developers, scrum master, product owner. And we work in a very rapid fast environment, delivering the rapid prototypes in 6 to 8 weeks. And not at last, at the least, I know some of you will agree, the eminent part of our team are our stakeholders who iteratively give feedback every week in an agile way that helps in developing the prototype.
Great, thank you. Simon, anything to add?
I would say the key things about Innovation Lab are it's kind of one of the suite of things that the department does to innovate. You know, there's innovation happening every day, I would say, at DWP. Perhaps the thing that an Innovation Lab and DWP Innovation Lab are focused on particularly are looking at those cross-cutting problems or opportunities that we can address with technology, and really doing that at pace, as Shruti said, and with a view to coming up with new and innovative solutions to those and making them real very quickly.
We've all probably heard the term digital innovation at some point working within the tech sector. Can you explain what it means to us within DWP Digital?
Shruti, do you want to have a crack at it? Then you can.
I'm happy for you to go first.
We have innovation happening across the board at DWP, and it takes the form of lots of different things. It can be the case where we're sort of innovating in a process, or it can be the case where we're looking at new ways of doing things, or entirely new things that the department can do. An innovation lab, in particular DWP's innovation lab, really is focused on that outside horizon area, what's sometimes called the third horizon. That is when we're looking at new and innovative ways of tackling problems. And for us, really what's central to that is applying what we describe as design thinking methodologies. And what they do for us, and this is central to our definition of innovation, is bringing a wide and diverse group of ideas and thinking to a problem. And that often takes the form of people from outside of the department. It's very easy for any large organization, whether DWP or a large commercial organization, to really be focusing on itself a little bit. And so one of the things that we aim to do is really to bring in lots of different diverse ideas. And secondly, to really focus on the problem at hand from the perspective of the user. And I can't really stress that enough. It really is going for a really deep understanding of that problem. And probably the final really key thing is making something real and doing it really quick. I think that allows us to create momentum behind things And specifically what it allows us to do is it allows us to demonstrate proofs of concept and the art of the possible to the organization very quickly. And in doing it very quickly, we're able to save money in getting rid of solutions that aren't going to work well, but also in using that sort of diverse and heterogeneous group of ideas, come up with perhaps a different way of doing it that we may not have been able to do from other sources.
Historically, government organizations have a reputation for not being very innovative. DWP Digital is putting a lot of effort and work behind being innovators. So how do we compare to the private sector when it comes to our technology stack and the levels of innovation we could do?
So thanks for asking this interesting question, Stuart. I believe the existence of the innovation lab within the department showcases that, you know, what are the mindset of the senior leaders in the department, where they have created a capability for us to innovate, challenge the perceived thinking, and go beyond, look for the art of possible to support our digital evolution. And historically, the things were a little different, as you know, but now there are more digital evaluation, accessibility to tech have induced a plethora of opportunities to do tech-driven innovations through which we can transform our services. And that's a great opportunity in the lab where, you know, we are leveraging. And there is an African proverb: if you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to go far, walk together. So in this journey, I would say, and Simon will totally agree, we are not alone. We are really working, you know, in a wider ecosystem with our external partners, industry, startups, other cross-corp organizations, leveraging on their experiences and skill set, bringing them on board with us when we are innovating and developing the prototype.
Yeah. Definitely agree with you there. And I think it's worth, I think, you know, specifically thinking that question of where we, you know, how we might compare DWP to other kinds of organizations. I think it's important to do that because often we're looking at similar kinds of problems and often it's really useful to look at the way other people do it. So certainly, you know, having had experience of innovation labs at a large global financial organization and also one of the world's largest global online retailers, it's interesting. There are probably more similarities than differences. You know, the problems that an organization like DWP face are probably those of as much those of scale as they are of sector. I mean, of course, in a government organization, it's public money, so that needs to be you know, one of our key things is to spend taxpayers' money wisely. But within that context, it really is a case that an innovation lab like DWP's innovation lab really does have the ability to move quickly and react quickly. And that really is the value of having a sort of a separate lab construction, that it's able to sort of move in those sort of slightly quicker ways by having a sort of a more nimble approach and a nimble sort of structure. And, you know, and probably I think Shruti made a really important point there when we're at the start of the thing. Really, the necessary factor, as opposed to just the sufficient factor, and perhaps one of the key critical factors in achieving this, is having that sort of institutional sort of buy-in to make this happen at a senior level. You know, I'd say it's probably key defining factor of success, that there's that sort of strategic view that there's value in this kind of approach, which you know, I'm glad to say is something that DWP does have.
Recently, you've both written an ebook about the 8 principles of innovation, which people can download on our website, careers.dwp.gov.uk. Would you mind giving us a quick overview of the core principles we follow and explain how we drive innovation within the organization?
Shruti, do you want me to kick off on this one?
Yeah, sure. You kick off. It's your transcript that started.
So I'll start this one. So we put together this ebook, and I think we perhaps too grandly called it 8 Principles of Innovation. But really what we were wanting to do is to share some of our experiences that we've learned where they might be sort of appropriate to other organizations who are thinking about this approach to innovation and the sort of innovation lab approach, and really to sort of start a conversation so that we can learn as well. So I won't go through all of the sort of learnings that we had, but just to give you a flavour of them, there were, I mentioned a few of them. Perhaps the first one that we pointed out was really the question, do you really want to innovate? And the point here really is, there's lots of really important things that you can be doing with your digital spend and your digital time. And they can be about service improvement. But when we're talking about innovation, we really are talking about a longer time horizon and looking at things which, by their very nature, they're not all going to succeed. If one really has everything succeeding 100% right all the time, then it's probably the case that there really isn't that level of risk that you need to make sure that you're finding new, innovative and potentially disruptive solutions to problems. So really that sort of corporate resolve to work in that way is important. And that's one of our first ones. Just picking a couple of other ones slightly at random. One of them was build a Trojan horse. And kind of what we meant by that is something which I think we've discussed, which is avoiding becoming an echo chamber, you know, which is a possibility for all sort of all large organizations. And, you know, our Trojan horse, as it were, is bringing in lots of different ideas and lots of different voices to change the debate and change the discussion, which is really sort of central to things. And maybe another one which I would sort of just focus on is focusing on making something real. I think we call it make it real fast in brackets. The point there is that prototyping is really central, and it's something that often can be the thing that people struggle with most. And that is the sort of principle of always aiming to build something. Why is this important? Well, if you start with the objective of always building something, it really changes the whole debate. It focuses minds on real solutions. It creates a language of actual artifacts that people can actually look at, pick up, reject, play with, change, and crucially, they can be tested and validated with their potential users. And so that kind of creating an environment to build things, employing builders and letting them build, is absolutely central to that objective. There are other principles, but those are perhaps just give you a flavour, Stuart, of some of them.
Thanks, Simon. That's really interesting. What do you consider to be the most significant digital innovation within DWP Digital right now? Is there anything that stands out as a real game changer compared to other public or private services?
There's a lot going on at DWP at the moment. Certainly, that's been accelerated also by the sort of COVID emergency, which has meant that we've had to find new and innovative ways of doing things. And there's lots of proof of how we're seeing citizens moving over to the digital channels. But when we're looking at the sort of overall strategy and the way that the department is moving, probably the first thing to mention is DWP's strategy and plans for the future in moving from a product-orientated organization to a more customer-centric, joined-up services-orientated organization. So technology and automation are really central to doing this and achieving this. We're in the process of building a set of reusable digital products. Each new end-to-end user or agent-facing service journey will really be realized through real-time collaborative interaction of these reusable elements. And this is what we might describe as an event-driven architecture. And the really crucial thing there is it allows components to detect and react to business events from anywhere else in DWP, often in near real time. And why is this important? Really, it's a key enabler to quickly and cost-effectively design services around these kind of holistic and sometimes very complex needs of citizens, which often span multiple areas of benefits and ultimately provide a service that better supports their user needs. And this really is crucial from any government department has a significant amount of legacy IT, but starting from this, what we call an application architecture, it really allows us to start realizing some of those visions of joined up services, things that are able to react quickly, and crucially, delivering those lower cost for the taxpayer. So really, this architecture really is an enabler of lots of things that we want to do in terms of improved services.
And I would add to this, Simon, definitely it's one of the biggest game changer in DWP. And what I have found is that there has, with the recent trends and shifting to the digital space, there is a innovation culture that had involved in the department where there is more acceptance to the technologies and looking forward for them to use in day-to-day use. It has grown in this particular, remote working world. And within the lab, we have really explored a plethora of technologies. I'm really fond of the serverless architecture that we are using in most of our prototypes, and which is like a backbone of the CI/CD pipelines that we are developing. And the other technologies like AR, VR, sentiment analysis, use of Docker, transport security, AWS, cloud changing services, all of these we have experimented in the lab, and the colleagues have really liked the outcomes of this. So there is a very good, there's a very big change, evaluation of technology where, people are accepting it. And I really feel that's a very big game changer in innovation.
You mentioned your team earlier and touched on the work they do. Can you tell us a little bit more about their work, their working practices, and how they differ from a development team embedded within a service?
Thanks, Stuart. As I mentioned before, how we could understand Innovation Lab, it is an unconstrained space to experiment with new ideas, concepts, and technologies. And I would say how this team has evolved, it is one of the perfect example of an agile Scrum team, where each team member is creative, pragmatic, and ready to go beyond boundaries to deliver. Unlike other teams, our deliverables are the art of possibles that empowers our stakeholders and support them in their day-to-day working and jobs. And that's the way we really differ from other teams who are more delivery focused and, who are more focused on solving the day problem.
I would probably add one, if I had a defining aspect of the DWP innovation team, it would probably be collaboration. As a team, as individuals, that all of their work is predicated on collaborating either with people within the department who perhaps, if you like, own a problem. And it's certainly not the case ever, really, that there's this sort of group who sit in one corner and then just come up with fantastic things all by themselves. That's kind of a misapprehension of what an innovation lab is for. It really is a catalyst, if you like, to two things: to maybe coming up with some slightly different ways of approaching a problem with an existing service team. It might be just giving them the space to do that, and additional sort of thinking and different diverse groups of people to do that. But the space and the permission to do that is important. And then the other side, which is really important, is just bringing in lots of interesting different ways of attacking problems and thinking about them. And something of that nature that we've really been focused on over the past few months is changing just not just the number, but the types of organization with whom we innovate and help us to solve the problems, the citizens' problems that DWP has identified. So that could be from small startups in the data space. It could be with academic institutions across the country who've got a different way of looking at things. And it could be with a range of corporate partners. And what's really been heartening, I think, over the past months is really just the enthusiasm that people have got to get involved with assisting in solving some of those problems. And the common ground we've had with people who are right at the cutting edge of these problems and identify the projects that we're working on as fellow travelers and people with whom they can work to advance their thinking as well as our thinking. And, you know, and I think really that shows the importance of a government organization like DWP being an active member of the whole sort of ecosystem of innovation and sort of playing a part in that thing. And, you know, it's a great case in point of where, you know, the public sector really can be innovative and doing things differently. And, you know, if there's something we've learned over the past 6 months or 8 months probably at DWP, it's that as an organization, there really is the capacity here to really engage in those problems and start rapidly coming up with some solutions that really makes some differences to citizens' lives.
Yeah, just to what Simon said, I want to just give a highlight to one of our POC. We called it Technology Enhanced Access, where, you know, we showcased how by using the video toolings of Google and by using beacon technology that, you know, a startup demonstrated right here, and how working together with Royal Institute of Blinds, seeing how they are using beacons to support their customers better, how we can club these technologies, how we can learn from the startup, how we can learn from the organizations like Royal Institute to come up with a particular prototype, like, you know, a tool which provides user a virtual experience of his visit to the job center so that his anxiety level could be, you know, handled. So that was one great example. And in each and every prototype that we develop here, and still the occupational health sale, the prototypes we are doing in the lab, our first view is to understand what is happening in the external ecosystem, what we can pick from there, so that, you know, we could leverage on their skills of them and, you know, collaborate with them while we are developing this innovation piece.
Good example, Shruti. That makes a lot of sense. It's a really good one.
I wrote some examples previously, but I missed telling them. I thought I was going too long. Sorry.
No, I think they're really good. I think they're really useful.
Yeah.
What does it take to produce something for a service or help solve a problem a service may have? What steps do you follow?
So, I think one thing about an innovation labs approach that that's worth considering is it probably isn't the case that we start off with a clear brief that that we then go away and do some work on. I mean, that does happen, but the whole sort of identification of the problem and investigating the problem is perhaps one of probably the crucial part of the whole overall process. So the first stage really for our innovation lab is getting to the heart of the problem. So we often sort of start with, a part of the business who've got, you know, who are scratching their head with a problem or an observation or something that they want to do better. And, you know, part of the first thing is really just getting to the heart of what that problem is. It sometimes means that the thing that somebody first mentions or sends an email about ends up not being the actual thing that we investigate and look at and work on, because central to our sort of design thinking approach is really getting to the very heart of the user's problem, and understanding that in a profound way that often has a bunch of different causes to the ones that maybe had first been considered. And then from there, we've got a quite a structured approach. And it's probably worth mentioning that, you know, part of the value of this kind of thing is the process itself. Really working the process allows the innovation to come out. You know, it's often the case that we're not talking about individual people coming up with super creative things. It's always very welcome. But what we're doing here is that word collaboration again. It's about people coming together with different approaches to identify a new thing that individually they may not have come up with. I wonder, Shruti, do you want to talk a little bit more about some of the sort of, you know, specific steps and specific areas that we work on?
As you already mentioned, our processes, I would say our design thinking sessions are very popular in DWP. Like, you know, many times it happens that it's not that the people come for the project, like developing the whole prototype, but many times for some of our work coaches, for our operation colleagues, we have done the design thinking session so that they could visualize their ideas and see them and take it to their leads. So what exactly are our design thinking sessions? As Simon mentioned, as we are starting, many times the stakeholders themselves, our colleagues don't know what exactly is the exact problem because they have got the naive idea out of the, you know, the day-to-day obstacles they are having. So what we do is we start working with them through the pre-discovery design sessions where, you know, we take them to a blank canvas, spend a day with them trying to understand the problem. We do a fantastic design thinking activities like abstraction ladder, creative matrix, where, you know, they just forget about solutionizing it or, you know, thinking about the way it is a problem. They see it as a story that flows over there, and, you know, many creative ideas come over there. The second half of that particular workshop, we spend more on developing solution together. That is a day well spent on ideation and, you know, doing that discovery piece, getting the ideas together, developing our how might we statements, and then coming up with some kind of concept poster solution, which is totally tech agnostic. Although we are tech heavy team, but, you know, it's a tech agnostic posture that becomes our root, our base for us, on which we work and iterate for 6 to 8 weeks, keeping that as our starting point. So once we develop our concept poster and we get a feedback from our stakeholders, they are happy with it, we start looking at our external ecosystem, like, you know, how, what we can leverage from outside, from internally, what are the DWP assets that we could connect with them, which are already there. And then in a rapid prototyping way, every week we give our demos, and on the basis of our feedback from our stakeholders, we kick off the project further. I will just give a brief outline of one of our project. Like, you know, some bunch of identity and trust colleagues came up and spoke about that, you know, our website, how we could ease the journey of people who are in pain, but at the same time we could, you know, keep the fraudulence away. So that was the starting of the whole bunch of discussions and design thinking sessions. And what we came up was a very good platform, that was an orchestration platforms which had a set of authentication pantries, which on the basis of historical data we have of the claimants and the kind of authentication, you know, we have, for example, biometrics, OTP and all, and what we can collect on the real time through their behavior online. So on the basis of these pantries and working with the startup, like, you know, Transmit Security, we were able to come up with that platform through which we could measure the trust of a claimant or of a person online at real time, and on the basis of that, increase or decrease the hurdle or the barriers. And that was like one of the project which was well taken away, and, you know, it's being worked on further by the identity and trust people. They are, you know, developing it further. So that was like, you know, but we always start from such a very simple, vague conversations, that, and it's amazing to see how we in 6 to 8 weeks deliver a prototype out of it.
So just before we end, what are your ambitions and hopes for your teams moving forward?
I would say it's a really, really interesting time to be looking at this area in DWP. There probably has never been a time where we could have seen a government department that's so focused on transformation and digital transformation at that. I think as far as the innovation lab's concerned, I think we probably just feel it's just getting going. And, you know, what do we want to see in the future? Well, first of all, we want to see perhaps an increased cadence of projects, where we're seeing a number of different projects running that are addressing a large range of problems and opportunities for the department. But I think probably if there was an overriding important ambition, it would be I think I might describe as a virtual circle of innovation, where we're starting to see that kind of approach, that kind of thinking, sort of disseminating, percolating through the organization. And probably what's a hallmark of that is the ability and the space and the permission to make decisions quickly, take some controlled risks in terms of innovating solutions. And by taking those small prototyped risks, ensuring that the feature is less risky. And I think that kind of approach, rapidity and sort of way of bringing in a range of voices are things that we're starting to see at the department. But really, I think those are the hallmarks of what success looks like for the Innovation Lab.
So that ends our podcast for today. Hit the subscribe button if you want to make sure you don't miss our next episode. I'd like to thank Shruti and Simon for taking part today. I certainly found it interesting, and I hope you did too. So thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.